Hello and welcome to the Everton Fans Forum monthly podcast. Today's episode we'll discuss last week's meeting, which took place on Thursday, the 27th of August. I'm Mike Thomas, who'll be hosting today, and I'm joined by Kieran Riley and all the way from the US, Tony Sampson. How are we doing, guys?
Hi, mate. Hi, lads. How are you?
All
good here. Looking forward to a long weekend here in the US.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll get better weather than us. So before we start, I'll just say a big congratulations to the Everton Fan of the Year for 2020, which is young Lewis Doherty, who's won the award for always great fundraising in collaboration with Speedo Mick. And I think everyone can agree that it's a well-deserved prize. So we're currently recording on Friday. We've tried our best to wait for the trio of signings, but it doesn't look like it's happened yet. Hopefully by the time we go out. So I think one of the key things which is important to everyone at the moment, we'll start with is the fan return to Goodison. And we raised a few issues about this at last week's meeting. And I think you can fill us in on some of the details, Tony.
Yeah, this was a big one actually as part of the discussion last week's meeting, as you say, Mike. So we were keen to try and understand what plans the club's been working on and what they're planning to put in place. You know, obviously for the return of fans, now the green light's been given for that. I mean, I think the first thing to just sort of comment on is that this, I don't think this is an easy thing for any club to sort out. You know, it's quite a sort of complex thing for them to work through, to factor through all the different issues they've got to take into account into doing this, but they have been working on, you know, trying to find the best solution, you know, for Goodison, for when fans come back. And I think, you know, that just Goodison itself is one of the issues, I think, that is, you know, is adds to the complexity for Everton. You know, each club's going to have a different way of sorting this out, but obviously, you know, we've got a ground that's a little bit older than, you know, the many others around the Premier League. So, you know, that means that we've got to start taking into factors like that before we do that. So, you know, we just asked for a little bit more insight into what they're doing. The club's still working on the plans in terms of, you know, how many numbers of fans and how many can actually get back into there. And they've obviously got to make sure that that's done safely and takes into account, you know, all of the issues in relation to social distancing and, you know, the bubble arrangements that, you know, families have had and beyond. So they're some of the issues that, you know, that they're starting to work through and have been working through for a while. So, you know, we were asking them, you know, what's the sort of best way for them to, you know, decide who comes back, how many come back and how they work that through. So it seems most likely that they're going to introduce some sort of ballot system. And that, you know, that's probably the fairest way in which they can you know, sort of manage this process. As I say, there's lots of different things that they've got to take into account. So that'll be the approach that we think they're most likely to take, and they're working through the details of you know, how that'll work. And obviously, we've got, you know, big numbers in terms of season ticket numbers, which I think have increased again this year. So, you know, it'll be likely based around you know, those season ticket numbers as well. You know, and as I said earlier, they've got to take into account a range of different things. You know, in terms of, you know, social distancing, you know, proper sort of safety access in and around the stadium. You know, through the concourses and other things like that, as well as obviously then the safety of, you know, the staff, you know, and the fans when they do get in there. So they're working that out. Well, one of the things that we flagged was, you know, there are obviously going to be some groups of fans that either may not be able to come back. You know, they might have sort of medical issues, or, you know, they might have other issues that mean, you know, they're in a sort of vulnerable category. So, you know, they might not be able to come back, or there might be some that just can't and don't want to. So one of the things we suggested is, as the club is planning sort of this process through, is whether they can, you know, find a way of having an opt-out process for plans sort of early doors, because that'll then obviously help them understand, you know, sort of, you know, what numbers they're dealing with. So that's one of the things that that they've agreed to sort of take on board as their, you know, their planning their process. And I think one of the things they shared with us is that, I don't know if sort of people are familiar with the family and friends section on the website and in your accounts, but, you know, for season ticket holders, which is actually really important for times like this, because that's a way in which the club can see, you know, who's sitting with who, what sort of bubbles exist, you know, and they're going to be sort of relying on some of that information as part of the process that they're developing. So a plea from them sort of through us was, you know, for season ticket holders, is to make sure that your friends and family information is up to date, you know, so use your customer number, go on the Everton website and make sure that's up to date, because that'll be a way in which they can determine, you know, some of the bubbles and some of the, you know, the groups of fans that, you know, will want to sit together. So that's going to be important, but I don't think they've got the full details of how that's going to work yet. So that, as I say, they're working on that. We're actually due to meet with them. I think it's next week again, where they're going to take us through the approach in a little bit more detail in terms of how that's going to work. They're also going to have one or two members of the fans forum to physically sort of go around and walk around the stadium and show, you know, how that's going to work sort of physically as well. So, you know, once we've got a bit more insight on that, you know, we can definitely share that, and, you know, the club will obviously, you know, communicate direct as well on sort of, you know, what's the process. I mean, a couple of things we also talked about as well, is that, you know, in terms of making sure that, you know, those fans that have been identified and are able to come back are the people that actually have been, you know, are the ones that have got the tickets. The, you know, photo ID is going to be required, so they're going to be checking that, and I think that's something that's sort of going to be happening across grounds across the country. And also as a little flag for people, you know, because of the way they've got to think about, you know, social distancing and other things, there's no guarantee that, you know, you'll be sat in, you know, where you normally sit, you know, under normal circumstances. So that's something else just to think about. But as I said, it sounds quite complex, but, you know, the plans that they're drawing up, they're trying to do in the most sort of equitable and fair way possible. And we'll, as I say, we should have a bit more detail on how that'll work next week when we sit down and take them through it. And then if there's anything that we need to follow up with them, then obviously we will.
Yeah, I think you've covered pretty much all of the key points there. And I think one of the things which we sort of come back to week in, week out, well, month in, month out, whenever we're talking to the club, is the arrangement of Goodison Park, and, you know, how difficult that makes it to really implement anything that's sort of modern. So, as you said, with the difficulty of getting large numbers of fans in, it's things like the concourses, the proximity of the seats to each other. It's going to be a bit of a nightmare, really, isn't it, to try and get any sort of social distancing in. So I think the bubbles, the family and friends bubble, unless obviously you tell the club that you're in that bubble and you go to the game with these people, it's going to be impossible for them to know that. So I think that's one of the points which, moving forward, obviously we'll have to help to get out, and the club will have to really emphasize the importance of that, I think. But yeah, it's going to be a really complex issue. And I've seen online, obviously, a couple of people talking about priority for games. So I believe at the moment there's not no hierarchy of fans, you
That's
know,
right.
from away credits and things like that. But I think
Yeah, no, that's right.
in the fairness of allocating games, I think, for example, say you did start allocating games on a sort of hierarchy of away credits or whatever, you know, say you missed the derby, I presume everyone's first choice of a game would be the derby, if there was a hierarchy. You know, say you missed the derby and then subsequently couldn't get to a Manchester United game or something because, you know, you'd use your Category One game or something for the derby. There's a lot of factors which are coming into play here which make it really difficult for the club.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think, you know, I think you just underlined sort of the complexity of this, of you know, how many different factors they've got to, you know, they've got to work into this, you know, and I think that's sort of why this ballot approach will be the one that, you know, they probably opt for. So, and, you know, look, you know, we'd want to be in a position where, you know, we'd all be back, or well, certainly for those that sort of it might be a bit difficult for me to get back there every week, but you know, that's what we'd ideally want, but, you know, we're in circumstances where, you know, we can't do that, so, you know, we've got to sort of try and just make sure that, you know, we can keep the club informed of, you know, what we think might work best, and then work with them on that. And then, as you say, you know, make sure that, you know, the ways in which we can help them and understand that, you know, where and who you might sit with at the game ordinarily, you know, and filling in the friends and family information is done, because that, I think that will sort of help ease the process. So, yeah, more to follow, I think, next week, Mike.
Yeah.
I think it's important that the fans, you know, work well with the club with this, because obviously it's a pandemic, no one can handle it, and they can't really do it in a fair way, really. Like, you're going to miss out on games, you're going to go to games. It's, you can't really say, oh, you're going to go to this game and you're going to go to this game, but you're going to miss the derby. And it's just, people are going to miss out at all of them, aren't they, really? And it's, our ground is probably is the most difficult in terms of social distancing in the Premier League, really, isn't it? With the concourses being so short and
I think, in fairness to the club, it's a very volatile situation anyway, so it's almost impossible to plan for, because even if you do go with a ballot system or a hierarchy system, people could end up having to quarantine through games which they've been allocated and things like that, and no one has, and obviously everyone would love to be back to full capacity, you know, early next year or whatever, but nobody knows. This could be the way for the whole of next season, and then going into the season after. Just it's how long's a piece of string, really, isn't it? So
completely,
it's just going to be making the best of a bad situation. I think everybody would rather, well, I know, speaking personally, I would rather there be, you know, 10 Everton fans in the ground compared to there being none. I think watching games last season with no atmosphere and nobody supporting any teams inside the grounds is pretty awful. So I think just maximising the amount of people you can get in is the first hurdle that needs to be overcome, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's done as safely as possible, obviously. You know, and one of the things as well, you know, to be clear, is that, you know, there's not going to be any sort of pressure, obviously, on anyone that that either doesn't want to go or, you know, for other reasons can't go. So, you know, and if they can't, then, you know, they'll be able to get a refund as well. So, you know, that was made clear as well.
Yeah. And sort of moving on to probably an equally difficult aspect of the restart and the reintroduction of fans is the refund process. So we had a little bit of a conversation about what the club's plans were for refunds. Obviously, this, you know, it's a big financial commitment to have a season ticket, and so in these difficult financial times, it's equally important that the club get this aspect of it right. So what did they say about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you remember from sort of, you know, when they communicated sort of, you know, last season around, you know, what would happen, you know, the club was pretty quick to respond on this and sort of, you know, bring clarity around what happened. And basically, you know, it's going to be similar to what we saw last season. So, you know, we asked, you know, exactly to your point, Mike, you know, what will happen for games where, you know, people can't attend for whatever reason, whether that's because of the ballot or, you know, for any other reason. So, you know, there will be refunds. You know, that's the message that came back from the club. So we asked, you know, so how's that going to work? So, you know, you're going to get it, you know, when you find out that, you know, or you don't choose to go to a game, you're not going to go to it. How, you know, you're going to get that immediately, or is it going to be sort of done at fixed points, you know, in the future, and how will that work? So first of all, as I say, you know, they confirmed that, you know, the refund will be credited back to, you know, back to fan accounts, which was, again, what we saw happen towards the end of last season. And then they'll be able to use that then, you know, in a way that they see fit. And then I think the likely method that they're gonna be looking at is, just because of the numbers of season tickets and the number of games, they'll probably look at sort of refunding those at sort of fixed dates. Again, as they know more around, you know, how many fans are going to be back and who. So, you know, they'll communicate that, you know, once those dates have been fixed. But, you know, the credit will go back into the fan accounts, as we saw at the back end of last season. And one of the things, the other things that we flagged on that as well is, and we've had a few follow-ups on this from various, you know, on through our social media accounts and a few emails as well, is people asking that once it goes, is credited onto their fan accounts, can they then use that directly with Everton Direct or in the store if they want to purchase stuff? So we queried that with the club as well. there's an issue with the sort of different systems that they use, you know, around sort of the ticketing and then on the retail side, which don't always sort of talk to each other. So whilst you won't be able to apply those refunds automatically then in the store, what you will obviously be able to do is once the money's refunded back into that account, you'll be able to, you know, obviously if you want to, you know, use that refund from a cash basis and then, you know, spend it on whatever you want in the store. So, but the two systems just don't sort of meet eye to eye right at the moment. So that's how that'll work if people want to, you know, want to use that refund on Everton merch.
Yeah. I think giving it back in cash gives sort of the most flexibility as well, doesn't it? Because obviously people are going to be going through different situations. So if they want to take the money out and then spend it on a kit, it's better than making it more complex than it needs to be, I suppose. So, I think it's going to be a moving process, isn't it? Depending on the attendance and stuff. But as long as the club are proactive with the correspondence and the keep us informed of what the refund process is going to be, that's sort of all you can ask for at this point in time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And as you say, that cash option does give you a little bit of flexibility to do whatever you want with it. So, you know, that'll be a useful option.
Yeah. So moving on to something which is maybe slightly better news, happier times ahead. The new stadium update, we discussed, didn't we, Kieran, with the club, sort of what was the next steps, you know, the slight redesign and things like that. We just wanted some clarity on what the club stance was going forward.
Yeah, so obviously everyone, I'm sure, would have seen that the club came out with an update on the website and the socials. And as you say, yeah, we want to get more information on that, really. And if people have read it, they will have seen that that planning permission has been put in for the stadium, as we know, and that Everton have confirmed that Lang O'Rourke, forgive me pronunciation if that's wrong, has been confirmed as the building contractor and Patton as the project technical architect. So it shows that things are moving forward in a good pace. And with that, you know, with after consultations with the city council, the public, neighbouring authorities, emergency services, heritage and environment organisations, and with regional and national stakeholders, work is being done, as you said, to some elements of the design of the stadium after feedback. The two main aspects, I'd say, of that them design changes is one, on the west stand, which is the stand facing the River Mersey, there's going to be the introduction of a new river-facing stepped plaza. Now, that'll mean the removing of the multi-storey car park, but there will still be parking for some disabled supporters in that area. And another big thing is that the after heritage site guidance from the council, the overall height of the stadium will be reduced, but it's important to stress that capacity won't be affected there. And so due to these design elements, not necessarily because of COVID, the timeline has been amended slightly. The club have told us that they think the work is most likely to begin on site in early 2021. So that's something for us to look out for. And with all this news of the update, the club will be soon pushing out a survey to season ticket holders and hospitality members. And it will ask them about a range of things, including which stands they're most likely to purchase a ticket for, what type of pricing they expect within the stadium and for tickets, etc. The type of catering and entertainment they expect in lounges and hospitality areas, on the concourse and in the fan plaza also. So very good things ahead for the stadium, and it does look like it's moving forward quite in a reasonable pace as up to now.
Yeah, I think it's it's been obviously a very, very tough, you know, 6 to 12 months basically with the uncertainty surrounding coronavirus and how that would affect things. So I think the fact that we're still, you know, more or less on track is a credit to the club. I think obviously as a fan base, we're as impatient as anybody, aren't we?
We've been here before, haven't we? Yeah. When you stay
exactly, yeah. I mean, I just want to see a spade in the ground at the moment.
Exactly.
But obviously with the complexities of the site, it's always going to be a really difficult place to build, and you're going to be getting grief basically from all angles. Oh, yeah. So it's good to see the actively trying to advance the designs and advance the building process, and you know, a three month slip on a project of this complexity, or what, you know, whatever it is, we're still pretty much on time scale, aren't we?
Yeah, I think like people don't realise how much actually goes into building a stadium before you can actually get a spade in the ground. So it's, you know, I think they're doing really well with it, and they're doing well to keep it tight lipped at the moment, really. I mean, as you just said too, like everyone wants to know more information. So, you know, as a forum, we have told the club we are dedicated to finding out updates on the regular about the stadium. And we're keen to publicise what information we have to give, what information they want us to give to the fans. So it is likely that in the near future that there will be a podcast coming out soon, solely dedicated to Bramley Moor Dock as well. So look out for that one.
I think the other thing to say on that as well is that, you know, you talked about the sort of the slight delay in extension of the timetable for a couple of months, you know, because of the interest in the site, particularly from the likes of UNESCO and Heritage England and what have you. You know, I think we largely predicted that they'd put some objections into this. I think, you know, and the club, I think, has been working, you know, with them throughout this process to sort of try and do that. And obviously some of the changes I think that they've suggested now are partly in response to that. So hopefully that'll get them over there. But I think, Mike, I think the other thing is that it just because of the way the process works, they will have to, the council does now have to do another consultation. That's just the sort of the plan and process and the statute, because of, you know, some of these issues have been raised by, you know, on the heritage issue. So I think there will be another 28 days. But that also gives us another opportunity, I think, as a fan base to, you know, pitch in and sort of demonstrate and inform them as to why, you know, this is such an important investment, not just obviously for Everton, it's massive, but also for the city. So, you know, it's actually, I've been talking to a few of the groups, even out here in the US and globally. I mean, what this will mean for, you know, for the city, from, you know, investment in tourism and bringing people to the city, is, you know, something that even we want to see, as sort of Blues living overseas. So I think there'll be an opportunity for us to, you know, to keep feeding in our views and hopefully, you know, support the next phase of the process.
Yeah, so hopefully exciting times ahead, and, you know, obviously the sooner there is a spade in the water, the better. And we'll move on to the next thing that we raised, which was about the Premier League shareholders meeting, which took place this week. And I think we raised some points to the club, didn't we, Tony, which we sort of wanted to be heard at the meeting, which we thought were basically worth bringing up to them. So, we mentioned a couple of things, didn't we?
Yeah. There was a couple. I mean, one of them was around, you know, how, you know, for those fans that aren't able to get to the ground, the limited number that are able to get back, how are they, you know, particularly season ticket holders, you know, how are they going to be able to watch the matches? So as we know, you know, during sort of this sort of first phase of COVID, you know, the games are accessible to everybody, you know, through the Now TV vouchers, and, you know, the main TV, you know, companies allowed that to happen. So, you know, we were asking, you know, what's going to happen now? And like, I don't know if you've seen, but like, I think this has been raised, you know, with fan groups, not just in Liverpool, but actually, you know, sort of right across the country, you know, people asking, you know, exactly the same question. So, you know, how are we going to, you know, make sure that we don't miss out? Because I think the stat was, you know, there's going to be, you know, even with the slight increase in number of games televising, you know, there's going to be 160 that won't be, you know, and, you know, it's not fair to, you know, just because of the circumstances, you know, people are going to miss out on doing that. So, you know, we asked, you know, and put forward our case and to make sure that, you know, that was something that, you know, the club acted on and sort of took the Everton voice in the shareholders meeting. So I think we're waiting for some feedback to see sort of how that, you know, what the discussion was on that. But that's really going to be really important. I'm pretty lucky actually out here because all the games are televised in the US, but, you know, it's going to be important to make sure that the, you know, the Blues in the city and the UK are able to do that. So
you can Facebook Live it to us from America.
Yeah, I'll do that. And we can, it actually links to the next point you raised as well, because we normally watch it from a bar. So, you know, it's good for us.
Yeah, I might have to visit.
Anytime, mate. Anytime.
Fans forum trip to Chicago. That sounds nice.
There you go, yeah. As long as you
on behalf of the club.
Yeah, well, that was the other issue that we raised. Actually, it was David that raised this. You know, from the Bobblers was, you know, the issue of, you know, whether, you know, again, particularly under sort of some of the controlled environment now of fans going back to the game, you know, can there be another look at the legislation that sort of prevents fans from having a drink in, you know, inside the stadium? You know, you made the point that, you know, if you look at many other sports, whether it's, you know, rugby, cricket or whatever, then, you know, supporters can, you know, can have a drink from the comfort of the seat. So why, you know, why should football, you know, be any different? You know, and his point was a long, long time ago when this law was introduced. So, you know, he wanted, you know, and then we as a forum discussed about sort of having this, and you know, given that, so how outdated that law is. And, you know, it was at a time when, you know, hooliganism was sort of, you know, very much on the agenda, on the political agenda, but, you know, things have very much moved on. So, you know, even as a temporary basis is something that, you know, that they could sort of, you know, sort of trial this as well. So, obviously, you know, this isn't sort of a one club issue, and you know, there's legislation in place that means that you can't have a drink at your seat now. So, you know, it would need a change in legislation. But you know, we asked for the Everton rep that was attending the shareholders meeting yesterday to flag this and at least sort of get the conversation moving. So I don't know if any of you have listened to a Bobblers podcast, but I think David's keen to have a bevy as soon as he can.
I think he's had enough. But yeah, no, it's important with these things, isn't it, to really keep pushing, because it's very easy to accept the status quo and just accept that, you know, you can't have a drink at your seat. And I mean, you know, for myself and Kieran, we've grown up never knowing any different. But it's crazy that you can go to other sports and you can go across the continent and, you know, you go to a game and you can drink, and it's just, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you get a drink in a plastic cup, and if you want to throw something, you're going to throw something harder than the empty plastic cup, aren't you? So
yeah. It's, exactly. I see it out here as well, Mike. You know, if I look at all the sports here, I know out in the US, you know, when they have tailgating parties before, you know, you go into the ground and, you know, you can drink all around and what have you. And, you know, it's you know, they seem to manage it out here. So, you know, maybe it's something that can be looked at again in the UK.
I mean, there's many things that can be trialled during this, really, isn't there? And that's a big one that can be trialled. And you never know if it goes well. If they do trial it in all Premier League grounds, then, you know, we could see the change of that law, you know.
Yeah, especially when you're more spread out, it's probably the perfect time to, you know, a lot of business industry is changing.
Correct.
Drastically due to just the way the world's had to function over the last few months. So I think it's a great time to raise the point, to be honest. And
I mean, one way of you know, making sure that it is safe is just limiting how many drinks you can have each game.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, for the length of time you queue at Goodison, I don't think you could get more than
two. Well, to be honest, I don't even bother with it.
There we go. So if it gets through, we can call it David's Law, couldn't we?
Oh, I'd love that. yeah. So just conscious of time, we'll move on to the end of season review, which we got a little update on, didn't we, Kieran?
Yeah, just a little update. It is still going ahead. I know the new season's fastly approaching, but it is still going ahead. Yet there's been no time frame announcements as of yet. But we can say that some content has only recently been recorded, so post-production is ongoing as we speak.
Yeah, the new season's catching up with us quick, isn't it? I think the quick turnaround and the players wanting to get a little week or two abroad has probably not helped with any awards or being able to get any sort of footage of the players accepting the awards and stuff. So,
also with the international duty coming up.
Yeah, so of course.
It is a hard one.
They'll obviously be waiting to tie it into the video clips of all of our new signings as well. So
it's open. Ancelotti might just get an award for that, maybe.
Yeah, soften the blow.
Let's not speak too soon until we've seen them play together, though.
I just want them to sign at this point. So yeah, sort of on the related note, in terms of the input from the fans and the online presence of the club, we've had a few things from a communication point of view as well, haven't we, Kieran? In terms of, you know, some possible ways of fan interaction with Carlo
and engagement and so we asked the club if there was a possibility that we could have a little pre-season Q&A with one of the players, possibly Coleman being the captain, and Carlo Ancelotti, where the fans could submit questions through the forum, which would obviously be recorded and published as a fan forum podcast. Maybe that's just an idea. You know, we asked the club that, and they're all for it. They said that, you know, Carlo Ancelotti might be a bit unrealistic with us being in the transfer window for another 30 plus days. But it is likely that we're going to get one of the players on. And it'll just be a brilliant thing for the fans to get engaged with, ask what they want. And it'd be a brilliant thing for them to do. And we want to hear from the fans, really, on our socials if they would like us to do that. And if it goes well, then we can always do more and we could do, or even just not just players, we could do it with anyone involved with Everton that people want to hear from.
Yeah, I think any aspect of fan engagement's always well received, isn't it? It's always good to see that the players are hearing the opinions of fans and, you know, interacting with fans in that way. It's especially in these times where the fans can't actually make it to the game. So anything we can do to facilitate that sort of connectivity between fans and players and coaching staff is obviously a big bonus, really.
We can, Richarlison's doing his English classes, isn't he? So we can, maybe we can ask him on, and we can use it as a test for him, and we can,
get him a baptism of fire.
Yeah, there you go. Test the Scouse accent.
So sort of following on from last month's discussion as well, we raised the topic of having some sort of mural, obviously. Liverpool seem to be claiming every wall in the city centre at the moment, so it'd be nice to see some blue dotted around. And I think you've got something of an update on that, haven't you, Tony?
Yeah. Well, we raised this, as you said, in last month's meeting, actually. You know, and I think you're right. We're getting loads of feedback around sort of, you know, all the different sort of murals from, you know, from the other lot. You know, now, and actually just some general comments as well around sort of the presence that they seem to have in the city. So we talked about the idea of a mural, and actually we were starting to hone in on a, you know, something specifically for Leighton Baines, because obviously it tied in, you know, with his retirement as well. So we had a conversation about some of the thinking we've been doing around where that could be. So places like, you know, the Baltic Triangle, the Winslow, the Dixie Dean Hotel, or even, you know, one of the terraced houses near Goodison Park could be suitable locations. And also, you know, we talked a lot about Leighton Baines, but, you know, were there any other players? I think the popular sort of discussion was around doing something specifically on him. So what I think we're doing now is just sort of working through and consolidating some of that to sort of think through, well, you know, where could we do it, how could we do that, and what's the best way to do it. There's also, you know, you might have seen on social media, you know, there's some great artists out there at the moment. I think it's Paul Curtis and a couple of others that have, you know, have been doing things. So again, you know, who might we use and what have you. So we're sort of working through, and the club have sort of, you know, agreed to sort of to work with us on that. But I think also, just in addition, people might have seen the project that Paul Morgan from Kit It Out has been driving on social media. So, you know, he's been looking to raise funds to do something as well, and has actually, he's been in touch with us as well about that. So, you know, we're happy to collaborate with Paul on that. But, you know, look, the city's a big place, isn't it? So if Paul wants to continue doing the work that he's doing there, then I think that's fine. And I think if we've got, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 murals across the city on, you know, Corran Everton, then I think, you know, we're all up for that as well. So, you know, we'll keep people involved, keep people up to date on how we advance it.
Yeah, it'd be a shame for there to be more murals of Everton players in Brazil and Colombia than in the city centre, wouldn't it, really? So I think anything that we can sort of get going, as you mentioned, there's plenty of artists out there and, you know, plenty of places that we can start putting murals up on. So I think it's probably early days at the moment while we're just sort of fact-finding and looking into the possibilities of it, but it's definitely something which is worth pursuing, really.
Yeah, no, it'd be great to do that. You never know, you might even... I was thinking about whether we could do something on the side of the pub where we go and watch the match here in Chicago. It might be something we can,
yeah, we can take
elsewhere as well.
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
No, I agree. It's and you know, this is an issue that, you know, we've seen on social media and feedback generally just around the visibility. So you're right, Mike.
Yeah.
I think moving forward on that and seeing a bit more blue around the city will be great.
I think we've always needed it. I think just little more quirky things like that, but I think it's been enhanced more prominence now that Liverpool have done so many lately. So they just keep popping up every week, don't they?
Yeah, unfortunately. what can we do? It's always easier, isn't it, when you've just won something, I suppose.
Like, get me wrong. They've done well. I mean, they do deserve some things like that, but let's not forget there are two teams in this city, so let's balance it out.
Yeah, there's only one originals as well.
Senior club in the city.
So there was also a international supporters club meeting, wasn't there, Tony, that you were privy to with the club?
Yeah, this is like part of the ongoing work that we've been doing. So, you know, like with, you know, we have a group for events and we have a group for communications and we have a group for, you know, atmosphere. There's a specific group in the forum now on international. So myself, Joe O'Reilly, Robert Eagleton and Jazz. So people might remember from previous pods, you know, we did a survey of the international fan base earlier on this year, just to sort of get a sense from them on what matters to them and what are the issues to them. And then we shared the results of that with the club, with some recommendations on where, you know, we think that, you know, we could work to, you know, to help support that beyond retail and merchandise and strategy and availability, or on the communications, connecting the clubs better, supporting them sort of build out their own plans out in the different, you know, out in the different markets and the different countries and a load of other things. So we had a follow-up with the club just to sort of take them through that. And we actually, as you say, we met again on Tuesday just to sort of as a follow-up on that. And the club sort of took us through, you know, some of their thinking, some of the things that they're starting to think about for next season. It was really good, you know, so as well as improving and refining some of the processes to make things easier for the supporters clubs, you know, they're going to continue to sort of operate some of their plans on, you know, increasing that engagement with, you know, with the supporters clubs in the UK, but also internationally as well. So that was really promising. There seems to be, you know, a real sort of impetus around supporting the fan base outside the UK. And, you know, obviously, you know, we keep talking about getting these signings over the line, but, you know, there could potentially be an even sort of bigger market, you know, if we get some of the players we've been talking about. So, you know, working with the fans and helping them engage and connect back to the club is going to be really important. So it was a really positive discussion. So, you know, some of that will start to filter out over the course of the next few weeks. And they've been creative as well about thinking about how that engagement can work, obviously, you know, with Zoom meetings and things like that, and some of which they did, you know, last year, maybe giving a little bit more of a profile around some of the supporters clubs and getting them engaged. So it was great because they, you know, I think shown that, you know, they're prepared to listen to the feedback from the fans and then act on it. So that'd be great.
Yeah, it's always important to, you know, obviously expats and fans who generally have started supporting the club from abroad, it's always important to really make them feel as close to the club as anybody in the UK and in Merseyside, isn't it? And so sort of canvas an opinion and seeing what really, really appeals to them is always important. And I think the club have really made a conscious effort over the last, certainly the last few months, probably the last few years, to start improving those relations and get stronger ties to each of the supporters' clubs around the world.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. And Beth Jones, who's part of the fan engagement team now, sort of has got the responsibility for, you know, for that direct liaison with the international groups. I know that, you know, Beth's been in contact with the supporters groups over the last number of weeks again to sort of build on the survey and get, you know, more insight into what's going on. So as you say, Mike, it's important, you know. And you know, I'm lucky I've sort of lived in the city and moved away. I know what it's like, but, you know, there's people around the world that have chosen to support Everton. You know, they're just as passionate and want to, as you say, stay connected. So, you know, and hopefully with all these new signings that are coming in, I don't want to tempt fate, we can keep building on that, because I think it's potentially really exciting.
Yeah. And one of the key ways, then one of the key sort of issues which we've seen over the last few weeks, especially with the release of the new kits, has been the retail side of things. So obviously the sleeve sponsors and things like that. So Kieran, you raised the idea that, you know, raised some points, didn't we, about what's going on, you know, in terms of the sleeve sponsor, what will be the process be to get that added to the kit as and when we do get one and things like that?
Yeah, so in terms of the sleeve sponsor, it's just when it actually does get announced of who it's going to be, it is likely to just be similar to when we got Angry Birds. So people who have already purchased the top will just take it to Everton 1 or Everton 2 and they can get it printed there and then. So yeah, that's that on that one, really. I mean, it's important to point out to fans as well, we have raised the amount of frustrated concerns over the sizing of the kits and other clothing, and the fact that fans can't get around this by trying stuff on the store, which obviously is out of our control at the moment, but it's also out of the club's control as well, because as they've said, it's fanatics' decision, and it mirrors several other major retailers in the UK as well. So it's out of their hands, really. They can't really do anything about it. On the back of that, people have been wondering about the announcement of the sleeve sponsor and the women's sponsor. That is yet to be announced. And also with that, the squad numbers, people have been asking when are they going to be announced, because obviously the season starts very soon. They are yet to be confirmed. The time frame for that is yet to be confirmed, but you can only presume it will be within the next few days, weeks, because it's obviously got to be done very, very soon before the season. And just the last point on the retail side, is it's a very good one, and I'm sure everyone will have seen it, that we had a record kit sales of all three 2021 kits, the home, away and third. And that was increasingly helped by the fact that Everton decided to let the disability teams reveal the third kit, which I personally think was just a brilliant initiative and something that I don't think a lot of clubs will have even thought of. I think we've become the first one to do that, first of many again, and it was just brilliant to see, really. I think everyone really was took back by it, and yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's testament to the way the Hummel have engaged with the fans as well since they've come in. I think that's really formed a positive relationship, and it does seem as though they've treated Everton, you know, as the sort of the main club that they're involved with, and that's what a lot of people have said that they're going to do down the years. I think Umbro said something similar, and then there was maybe a bit of distance between it. There's been obviously issues with this kit, which, you know, we've addressed in previous meetings, such as the badge and stuff, which, you know, we've don't seem to have been statistically as big of an issue as what a lot of the time social media can make things out to be. But time will tell with obviously everything to do with the kit. But it's a great start for Hummel, yeah. And it's, you know, it's a great, it's been adopted by the fans really well. So that's always a positive.
Yeah. And if people do have concerns, then you should continue to raise them, because, you know, the club wants to know, as they, you know, as do the partners.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And on Hummel as well, you know, that they are continuing to show those signs of sort of continued engagement as well. So there's actually, we're actually meeting with them. There's members of the fans forum that are meeting with them at the beginning of next week as well, Mike, to, you know, to keep building on that and keep raising some of the issues that, you know, that we've, you know, that we've raised, you know. And again, I think that's a good signal that, you know, they're prepared to, you know, to spend time and listen to us on behalf of, you know, on behalf of the supporter base. So again, maybe on the next pod, we can give people a little bit of an update on the things we discussed there.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. So it's all you can do is engage with the club and the fans, isn't it, as a retail partner. So, you know, the fact that they're still willing to do that and still willing to take on ideas is always a bonus. And to be honest, from the fact that the away kit being yellow and blue and the appearance of the home kit, I think everything that has been fed to them has been taken on really well.
Yeah, no, good signs. Yeah. Good signs.
Yeah.
In marketing, they've done a brilliant job, haven't they, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Especially with the away kit and the third kit.
Yeah. I mean, even with the home, they had Thomas Gravesen as part of the unveiling, didn't they? And
seen many tweets like about that saying, who's this speaking over this video? And then he turns up and everyone's just got made up then.
In a Scouse Danish accent.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Oh, you're right. And actually, you know, the other thing as well is in two of the launch videos as well, they've made specific nods to, you know, the international supporter base as well, and that stuff gets noticed. People look out for that stuff, and you know, and I don't think that people should underestimate the impact that has. So, good start.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. So I think that's everything that was discussed at the meeting. Is have either of you got anything to add?
Only that I can see that there's pictures on Twitter of Carlo Ancelotti in a restaurant in Liverpool with Hammers and Decouri. So hopefully we can get this over the line.
Yeah, hopefully by the time this is released.
I go to San Carlo now then.
I've got me room at the Titanic book, to be fair, so I'll let you know.
Good stuff.
Thanks for listening. And as always, continue to send us your queries, your thoughts, anything that you'd want us to raise with the club, and we'll continue to raise it with them. And, you know, you might hear about it on next month's podcast. Everything that we've raised today will be backed up by the minutes, which will be released on the club website. And as with all of our podcasts, we sign off with a song from A Blue. And today's rendition is from Dean O'Reilly, who's the son of the Fans Forum member Joe. And so we'll hand over to Dean to finish off this podcast.